machines are going to take your job. That has been the fear. That has been the fear pretty much since the Industrial Revolution began. And in some parts of the economy, it's not an inaccurate or far-flung fear, right? Innovations like steam power and the assembly line and more recently artificial intelligence have genuinely affected the job market and in some cases dramatically. So what's next? Are they coming after me too? Will a bot host this radio show? I don't know. Maybe it's not that hard. Joining me now to talk about automation and how it could affect you is Darren Gresh, Senior Research Associate of Innovation and Tech at the Conference Board of Canada. He joins me from Ottawa. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me on.
Can a bot replace me? Seriously, is this coming? Should I prepare myself?
You know, you've brought up something that has been like a topic that we've tried to address and emphasize in how we talk about automation. So
how to get Bruce Ellery off the air.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So at its core, automation is about reducing human intervention. But if you look at it from a simple level, say you're gardening and you don't have any tools and you have to dig in the dirt with your hands. You introduce a spade or a hoe and you're no longer having to move that dirt yourself, but indirectly, and you're able to do a better job. You're able to be more efficient with your effort and allow you to increase the total value of what you're getting out of it. If you move a little bit further down that technological chain, maybe you've hitched a plow to the back of an animal where, you know, no longer are you tilling the dirt yourself, but maybe you're making sure that the plow stays on course, doesn't get caught up in any obstacles, and you're ensuring that the animals have what they need and that they're doing what's expected of them. Take it a little bit further. You know, you have a large modern tractor where, yes, you need someone to drive and operate the tractor, and maybe you're able to do a lot more value-added tasks with it, right? Maybe it's not just tilling a field, but you're able to fertilize and
then by 2030, it's a drone. I've seen these drone tree planting devices, and they're amazing.
Yeah. So, they're just going to actually 3D print your food. So.
Right. There you go. That's the end point. 3D printing my food. So which occupations are at the highest risk right now?
Yeah. So that's it's an interesting question, because if you look at it from a pure automation perspective, there's some characteristics like the types of tasks that are involved in a particular role. So if you look at ones that require lower levels of formal education, minimal complex interactions with people, and are fairly repetitive. But those types of characteristics are becoming less and less relevant as technology advances. So we're all fairly susceptible to automation in some way or another. What's really important is ensuring that or focusing our efforts or our support on the jobs that are both at high risk of automation and also have lower labor mobility. So they're less able to transition or adapt to a transforming role and might need some additional training or support to be able to effectively continue to contribute to the economy and retain their livelihood.
I remember hearing this story about how lawyers could be replaced by AI because they could churn through, you know, a million pages of legal precedent in a task that would have taken young associates days and days and days. One of the themes that emerged from your report is something you call rapid growth clean economy. Do you believe this is going to be a real piece of the labor market in the future? Because it's got a lot of buzz, there's a lot of sizzle. Is there steak?
Yeah, so, and you bring up a good point. It does have a lot of international attention right now. What we are really trying to focus on is, you know, where are the high growth potential in the economy? Where are the jobs going to be, where is growth going to come from in different parts of the economy moving forward? We took a shot at the clean economy from the beginning, but we could have easily looked at Canada's oceans economy or Canada's digital economy. The thing that we want to emphasize is getting people from maybe more vulnerable parts of the economy into fast growth occupations and careers. Again, it's really about ensuring that these different individuals are able to adapt to a transforming occupation.
which is no small task, given the skill set that people have been working with, some for decades, to then pivot, sorry for the cliche word, but pivot to a new thing. You identify something you call foundational and social skills that people will need. What are some examples of those skills?
Yeah, so let's take an example, say a cashier. I'm sure you've seen the self-checkout, popping up in yep. all the different stores. You know, cashiers are no longer mainly processing transactions, but, you know, instead they're providing IT support. They're focusing a lot on customer service, you know, helping individuals who, you know, might not be able to, manage the self-checkout themselves. And they're being freed up to help with other potentially higher value tasks throughout the store. So when we're talking about different social and emotional skills, these are things that are really the ones that we have significant difficulty automating. It's the things that really make us human. Being able to, you know, again, thinking back to the you know, having complex interactions with people. Those are things that, so your job is safe, I think, Bruce, in terms of being on the radio here. So that's really what we're trying to highlight with those social emotional skills is, you know, it's not just computation. It's not just, you know, moving something from point A to point B. It's those that high value stuff that humans are great at.
You talk about some of the structural barriers to making changes like this. One of them, I think the most interesting one, is that the current demand could hamper interest. What does that mean?
Well, I think there's a couple different types of barriers. If you're thinking about transitioning between the occupations themselves, we need to really think about the skills differentials between different occupations and different jobs. We need to look at the wages between the different jobs. There's also, aside from those more tangible factors, there's also different considerations for employees themselves. So maybe there might be fear around transitions. You know, maybe there's potentially negative perceptions of particular types of jobs. Say for in the clean example, the clean economy, for example. So it's really trying to understand what are the types of barriers that do exist, and you know what can we do to help mitigate those.
You've got a number of calls to action, and you think about this through a number of different lenses, the employee, the employer, government. Mm-hmm. You point us to something called OpportuneXt. What is that?
Yeah, so that's a tool that we've developed to really help give people a quick view of, you know, what sorts of options are available to them. You know, maybe they have an understanding of where they sit. They want to see, you know, what are the closest types of occupations that they might, you know, potentially transition to, make a career change. You know, understanding what types of skills are required to make those changes. So it's really giving people a quick view. We're taking a lot of Statistics Canada data, a lot of job postings data, and we're integrating that into a useful tool to just provide more information and help people understand what opportunities are available to them.
From a government standpoint, is enough being done, in your view, to keep the train on the tracks, to lead Canada to this future where people are employed in work that compensates them appropriately and which captures their great gifts?
I mean, I don't know if I can speak to that directly, but I do know that, you know, this is really a wicked problem. It's nothing. It's something that doesn't have, easy answers or easy solutions. There's a lot of different moving parts. And there's a lot of different stakeholders, like you said, governments, employers, educational institutions, and workers themselves that all have, potentially a job to play in ensuring that, you know, Canada's workforce is ready for the future of work. So there are a lot of different, potential policies and programs that governments have available to them to be able to support this transition into the future of work. And I think that what we're trying to do with this research is just, you know, dig away at the problem a little bit and break it down into more digestible pieces that we can then attack different parts of the problem and hopefully, you know, move the needle a little bit forward to that future state.
Interesting stuff, both exciting and terrifying in equal measure. Darren, thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bruce.
Darren Gresh, Senior Research Associate of Innovation and Tech at the Conference Board of Canada, joins us today from Ottawa.